Folks, thanks for joining us today. I just wanted to speak for a little while again, just from the study here, from the heart to the heart, and a very sensitive subject, and yet a very prevalent subject and a very important subject that maybe affects you directly or maybe affects a member of your family. I want to speak for a little while upon the subject of self-harm. Now, self-harm is something that maybe years ago we didn't hear so much about, whether it wasn't as prevalent then, or whether there was more secrecy about the whole thing. But the reality is that self-harm is a very prevalent problem in our society. As I say, it might affect you directly. It might affect maybe a member of your family, maybe even a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a brother or a sister or perhaps even a parent. And I just wanted to speak for a little while about this subject. I'm certainly not an expert on it, but over the years, in my experience, I've met quite a number of people who have been involved in self-harm, maybe cutting themselves, burning themselves with different things. And it's something that's sensitive, I understand. And I just want to reach out and try to encourage you if you're struggling with this or you know somebody who is. I suppose it's something that can be very easily hid. It's something that can start off small, it develops, it grows, it can become very addictive. And for some people, self-harm is a coping mechanism. We live in a world where there's a lot of pressure, and for some, self-harm is simply a means of coping with anger, frustration, stress, even broken relationships. Maybe someone disappoints you or discourages you, and anxiety, worry, even bereavement. And certainly one of the main reasons maybe for self-harm is a sense of low self-esteem, very little self-worth perhaps. You know, sometimes we can all feel useless. Sometimes we can all feel ugly and unloved and unattractive. And maybe through broken relationships that gets compounded, and we need an outlet for all of those emotions. And sometimes that can result in self-harm. For others, self-harm, hurting ourselves, cutting ourselves, it might be a way of coping with guilt. For some, it's a means of being in control. There are many, many things in society and even in our lives, things that happen to us that we can't control. Maybe whenever you go back into your childhood, maybe you were mistreated, you were hurt, you were bullied, maybe even abused in some way. And that type of pain was all beyond your control. It wasn't of your making. And self-harm is something that maybe we feel we can control. And we need to be in control of situations. And sometimes whenever we can't control our emotions and we can't control our circumstances, we feel, well, here's something I can control. I remember listening to another young woman, and she had been involved for years in self-harm, and she explained that there's something inside of her, all of this pain, frustration, and guilt. And for her, self-harm was a way of trying to let it out, to release it. Then for some, self-harm is a form of getting attention. We have to be honest about that as well. It can be for very selfish motives, very selfish reasons. For others, it can be a form of penance, if you like, beating oneself up because of guilt. For others, maybe a form of atonement almost, feeling that if I punish myself, therefore I kind of atone for my own shortcomings, my own sins. And the reality is as well that for some that are maybe watching this and you're going through a lot of emotional pain, maybe depression or something related to it, self-harm is a way of controlling your emotional pain through physical pain. That physical pain that you go through when you self-harm is a distractant. It distracts you from the realities of life. And sometimes the physical pain temporarily overrides the emotional pain and the mental pain that you're going through. And then for others, there's just a sense of numbness. Maybe you're void of being able to express your emotion and you don't feel happiness, you don't feel joy. Maybe you're very numb to what's going on in our world. And self-harm is a means of at least letting you feel something, anything, because you're numb. But for many, self-harm is simply a cry for help. But you know, the wonderful thing about being a Christian, the wonderful thing about the Word of God and knowing Jesus Christ as Saviour, I have the wonderful assurance that whatever I go through in life, my Lord, my Saviour, understands what I'm going through. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews at the end of chapter 4, and it says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And the scripture also says in Hebrews that having been tempted, he's able to succor those who are tempted. He understands your loneliness. He understands your emptiness. He understands the darkness that you're going through. And he understands pain, mental pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, but physical pain, having been nailed to a cross. But in Acts chapter 16, we have the account of Paul and Silas being put into prison. And the jailer that put them into the prison cell handled them very, very roughly. He wasn't sympathetic to their message and to their plight at all. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and they sang praises unto God. And at the same time, there's an earthquake and the prison was shaken. And the jailer awoke out of his sleep and his whole world had been shaken. He supposed that the prisoners had all been fled and that would cost him ultimately his life. He'd failed in a very important job. He felt like a failure perhaps. He was distressed, he was anxious, he was afraid, he was worried, he was full of anxiety. And he was without God. And then he took out his sword and he was just about to fall upon his sword. And in Acts 16:28 we read these words. Paul saw what was happening and he cried out and said these words, "Sir, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And I think that's just a lovely, it shows the heart of the Apostle Paul. It's a lovely thing. Here's a man that's going to certainly harm himself, kill himself even. And Paul says, "Sir, do thyself no harm." That's not the way to deal with this. Hurting yourself, mutilating yourself, killing yourself. Now that man was at his wit's end. Couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Couldn't see any hope for going on. But Paul says, don't do yourself any harm. That's not going to help the situation. Not only that, but you are created, friend listening, you are created in the image of Almighty God. And you were created for the wonderful purpose of fellowship with God, speaking to God, walking with God, and obedience to God. Man's chief end, his primary purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Hurting yourself, harming yourself, does not help you in the long term. It does not help your loved ones around you. And it's not God's will for your life. It doesn't glorify Almighty God. But Paul said something else. He says, "We are all here." Paul was speaking as a Christian and he says, "Listen, despite all that you've done and said about me and done to me, I'm here to help you." And he had a love and a compassion for that man. And that man was broken. And he at last acknowledged that. And he says, "How can I be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they pointed him to the Saviour that I spoke about a few moments ago. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And that was the answer to that man's plight. He realised there was a Saviour that died for me and shed his blood for me and suffered for me. And I need him in my life. And he was willing to trust the Lord there and then. And within an hour, that man's life was turned right around because he discovered that there was a wonderful Saviour. And I just want to point you to that same Saviour who died upon the cross. He doesn't want you to harm yourself or destroy your life. He said, "I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save." And he can save you today because he knows you better than you know yourself. You know, the worst form of self-harm is to reject the Lord, to reject Jesus Christ, and to die without him. because that means you'll be harmed for all eternity. Listen, friend, there's a better way. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. May God bless you. And I trust that these wee thoughts will help you. I'm not an expert in these things at all, but just want to encourage you and reach out to you and encourage you to seek the Lord, dig into the scriptures, seek and find the Saviour, and he'll be able to help you with all of your burdens. May God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us.